God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Almighty God, who has given us an only begotten Son to take our nature upon him, and as has at this time to be born of a pure virgin, grant that we may be regenerate and born anew, made thy children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by thy Holy Spirit, through the same our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the same Spirit, ever one God, and world without end. Amen. Well, what's it all about? That's the title of my message today. We all know about the story. We all know about the shepherd boys. We know about the message. And we know of the recipients. So this is what I'm going to be speaking on, the story. Shepherd boys, the message, and the recipients. Joseph and Mary finally arrived at their destination in Bethlehem. When they got there, they found that it was full of people of their own lineage, filling the place to the max. And there was no room for them to stay, no room for them in the inn that they came to. This may be new to you, I don't know. It's probably, they were late in arriving, and so the whole city was already filled with people, because Mary earlier that day had the baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and then finding the place not outside of the inn, in a cave-like setting, a cave that they formed stables in for the animals. They laid him in a manger in that place. That's a little different from the manger scenes you see, but that probably was the case. It's doubtful that Mary actually gave birth to the babe in the stable, but it is possible. But they were probably late in arriving in Bethlehem, because she was great with child and delivered that child and had no place for them to stay, but found the inn a suitable place for herself, her husband, and her newborn baby. Now, because this child was also God's only begotten Son, others had to be told. Yes, there was the shining star that indicated something special had taken place. But people had to be told the news. And it was given to these shepherds that were in Bethlehem, tending their flocks, watching their flock.
to spread the news to the people. The news of this birth would go out from them. They verse 17, they made known abroad the news of the birth of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now a little about these shepherds. Shepherds at that time were probably, these shepherds and most, were young to mid-teen boys. Ordinarily, the youngest son was given the task of shepherding by the family, by the father. So these were young boys shepherding the flock. And remember the covenant, that these are people of the covenant. And David was a young shepherd. He was the youngest shepherd boy who was given the task of tending his father's flock. So there is a similarity here, a covenantal speech, if you will, or speak, that like David, these shepherds, as young as they are watching the flock. It was a day filled with watching and leading and protecting the sheep as they walked around the desert land, finding patches of grass for their hungry sheep to feed on. And then they, various shepherd boys shepherding their tiny flocks, would bring them all together into a pen that was built there for years in succession. They put all their sheep in this one pen, and then they'd settle down by night and they'd light a fire, and the warmth of the fire would cause them to talk a little bit, converse a little bit before they fell off to sleep, while each took turns to watch in the night. We know too that these shepherds were Israelite boys, and they were taught early on the covenant truths. They were taught of the covenant God Jehovah. They were educated in the scriptures. They knew about Messiah. And there is reason to believe and not doubt that these boys, because they were being prepared by God to receive a great message, these boys were speaking about the scriptures, perhaps about Messiah, and when he returned, what things would be like. Certainly, they were not strangers to the Bible, to the Messiah, to the coming of Messiah, to the people of God. They were not strangers to rejoicing and praising the God of salvation. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appears in a bright and dazzling light, like none other. And we're told that they were sore afraid. They were frightened by this light. Now, this light is purely the light of God. It's a reflection, as a creature like an angel could reflect in some small measure the brilliant light of the thrice holy, pure God. But it was certainly a brilliant light like they never saw before. And so they were frightened. But think about why they were frightened. Frightened of what? Frightened of the unknown? Well, they knew about angels. They knew about God as light. It says that much in the Old Testament. Surprise? Frightened them? Maybe. Maybe a little bit fear of the unknown, maybe a little bit fear of being surprised, but no, there was a greater fear that paralyzed them. As one writer said, they were in mega fear. They were paralyzed. They were so frightened. Why is that? Well, think about it. The angels are always in the presence of God. The angel is pure and holy. A shepherd is a dirty little boy here. Dirty fellow. A shepherd, but not just outwardly, inwardly. They're rough and tumble people. The shepherds were unholy, impure. The angel is an immortal spiritual creature. The shepherd is a mortal, fallen creature. The angel is always in the light, because God is light and there is no darkness in him, or with him, or surrounding him. The angel is light. The shepherds are in the night. When you find that contrast coming together, it causes the shepherd to fear, because he realizes that if God should judge him for his sins, if God should enter into any kind of judgment, who can stand? Certainly, they knew that they were sinners. They knew they could not stand in the presence of a holy God. And oftentimes when an angel did appear, the angel appeared in judgment, to announce judgment. And so that caused them to tremble at the fact that God was appearing in the form of this angel in brilliant light, ready to judge them. And that's why we have the first word of message from the angel in verse 10. The angel said, "Fear not." I want to tell you that I have good news, glad tidings of great joy, which is to you. Shall be to all people, as Luke said. Actually, it says in the Greek, all the people. Talk about that in a little bit. So this allays their fears. Fear of judgment. The angel is not coming to condemn, but is coming with a message of salvation, a message of joy, of peace, of love. What a relief it must have been for these shepherds. You see, the message that we get, even during this Christmas time, and on throughout and into the new year, is what? From the world. Even from certain Christians who are so engaged with the sensuous, so engaged with the things of the earth, so engaged with themselves, with the meanness of it all, with what's in it for me, how does this benefit me and mine, how does this benefit, maybe even if they're a little more broad-minded, us. And so they look to others, like many are looking, even Christians, I suppose, are looking towards politicians and towards educators, towards teachers, and towards the institutions and the institutors and the educators of this world, who will promise many things this Christmas time and into the new year. We promise some relative peace, protection from criminals, protection from other nations, warlike nations, protection and cures like of COVID-19, from COVID-19 with a new vaccine. We're going to promise you this, and we're going to promise you that, and every promise is always broken. They're not going to cure all disease. They may cure some, but there's others that come up, like COVID-19, and now COVID what? What is it going to be? COVID-21, and then COVID-37, and then whatever it's going to be. They're not going to cure disease. They're not going to cure poverty. They're not going to bring in and usher in peace throughout the earth. There's always going to be, and always has been, and always will be, wars and rumors of wars. There's always going to be fighting. There's always going to be corruption. There's always going to be sin. Call it what you will. But these are the promises that are made every single Christmas time and on into the new year by the politicians and the educators and the elite, and even by Christians, preachers, teachers. But you see, we're wrapped up with the world. And that's what the world does. It wraps things up pretty-like. It makes it look so nice. But it's all earthly. It's all temporary. The glad tidings of the world fall flat on their face day after day, week after week, month after month, year in and year out. It's always the same. Poverty, disease, fighting, wars and rumors of wars, corruption in high places. My, oh my, is there so much corruption. It's just broadcast for us all to see every day. Forget about the spiritual realm, right? That's not practical, that's not important, but you see, the message is, and always will be, from the Word of God, a deep, profound, and spiritual message that, if it's received well, does bring healing and help, first to our soul, to our mind, even at times to our bodies. Fear not, the angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Well, what are these good tidings? If it's not a cure for COVID-19 or a cure for disease, diseases like diabetes and cancer and heart disease, and on it goes. And it's not more money, sending $2,000 or $4,000 direct deposit into your checking account from the government. If it's not a new job or career or an education or to wipe out poverty, we know it's not any of that stuff, because Jesus himself was poor all his days. He didn't wipe out poverty. The shepherds were still going to be shepherding, and they were going to be working hard, and they were going to be troubled. It was a miserable life, to be sure. Not all the time, but it has its miseries, has its challenges. If it's not about that, then what is it about? What are these glad tidings, good tidings? And the good tidings that the angel is bringing, glad tidings, are, as I said, deep and profound. And it's this, that you shepherds, you mortals, you impure, you imperfect, you sinful people, are going to have a Savior. You are going to be saved from all your sins. I am giving you a plenary forgiveness. God is giving you a forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. I am giving you a righteousness, not your own, but will come through this Savior, the Son of God, becoming Son of Man, taking on flesh, the incarnate Savior. And you see in this manger now is going to grow up to be the Savior of a world of people. That's the good news. That's the glad tidings. It's not some temporary relief in the form of a government check or in that comes from a needle or with medicine in it or a pill. It doesn't come from a job. It comes from heaven. And it's an invite to heaven. Well, how do you get an imperfect creature in heaven? You have to wipe away their sin. And that's what the shepherds feared. They feared the judgment of God was upon them because the angel of the Lord appeared in brilliant light around them, and they were in darkness, not only the physical darkness of night, but spiritual darkness, the sinful darkness, the shades, the many shades of sin. And the angel's message is that God has given you a Savior in this little baby. He's presented a Savior from your sin, a Savior that is going to introduce heaven on earth and prepare you to enter into heaven in the presence, like the angels in the presence of God. You will be in the presence of God. That's the clear message here. As the prophet Micah says, God delights in mercy and shall cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The shepherds knew that scripture. They knew what Micah said. You are going to be brought into the presence of the Almighty. Just as I am an angel, you will be also. So what a glorious message. Truly glad tidings of great joy are brought by the angel, and then a host of them praising God, to the shepherds who are now given the task to spread the news. Shepherds, the lowly, the undeserving. Which brings us to the recipients. The recipients with the shepherds. The recipients are those who hear the sounds of heaven, the angels' message of good tidings, great joy to all the people. People like you and me. You see, the message that comes from the angel, from heaven, to the shepherds, and through them to us, is that God has introduced a Savior that is going to save all kinds of people. Not just the rich, but also the poor. Not just the old, but also the young. not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Not just to those who are, at least by all appearance, righteous, but he's going to save harlots, like the harlot Rahab. He's going to save strangers and aliens, like the Moabite Ruth. He's going to save pagans and heathens, like the Ninevites. He's going to save all kinds of people from all kinds of sin. He's going to save the lowly, the humble, the meek, those who are insignificant in this world, in the eyes of this world, those who do not have the many things of this world, those who are, in a word, worthless, useless, not seen, invisible, of little to no importance, certainly not movers and shakers, not the talking heads, not the leaders. Some? No. He's going to save all kinds of people that humble themselves. He's going to save a people. It says, the scripture says, his people in the Gospel of Matthew, the angel tells Mary to name Jesus, and he shall save his people. Here in Luke it says, to all the people, the Greek says, the elect of God, the people chosen by God, the people of God, in other words. That's who God is going to save. And they don't look so well on camera. They don't appear so well in public. They don't seem like the right choice. They're certainly not the kind of people that I would pick to fill up my house in heaven. The lowly, the ignoble, the insignificant, the not so talented, the not so educated, poor, lowly shepherds. That's the glory of the Christmas message. It always has been and always will. Oh yes, some of the mighty, some of the magnificent of the earth are chosen. But the ones that are the people of God have always been the poor, the lowly, the insignificant, the not so dazzling, those who find happiness is not the most important thing, but the joy and the peace and the mercy that comes to the soul from heaven. These are the people. These are the kinds of people. All kinds of people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. The chosen and the precious of God. These are the sons and daughters that God comes to with his message. And they receive it. And it brings them great joy, though they have poverty in their midst. It brings them great peace, even though they have sickness. And even though they have circumstances surrounding their lives that are not so very nice and calm. These are the people that that received the message and like Mary pondered in their heart and ready themselves to meet their God and Savior. This Christmas time, and on into the new year, I want to remind you of what you already know, and what really means the most to you, and that is your spirit, your soul, the Word of God, the promises of life eternal through faith in Jesus Christ. The things that really matter are the things that cannot be seen, cannot be touched, cannot be bought nor sold. Oh, they're of great profit, but they don't fatten the bank account or our waistline. The things that really matter the most, faith, hope, and love. Faith in God, resurrection, hope in the new life, and the love of God that passes all understanding. These are the things that matter the most. These are the gifts that come from God's Spirit. And the greatest, as you know, is love, which should last forever and ever. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you for the Christmas message that's delivered every year, many of them are. The message that reminds us that there are good tidings of great joy to all kinds of people, to people like us. And it is that we are forgiven all our sins, given thy Spirit, renewed in our minds and in our hearts, being prepared to meet you in heaven's glory. That's the message of joy. That makes a heart glad. And thank you for reminding us again during this Christmas season. In your name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.